everyone. Thanks for coming. I'm Hannah Poffenberger, coming from Iowa State University. I'm going to talk today about the effects of different crop rotations on surface and subsoil carbon storage. So soil organic matter is key to agricultural productivity. It enhances a lot of the soil properties that are beneficial for our cropping systems, like water holding capacity, soil structure, pH buffering, nutrient mineralization, and it's positively associated with crop yield. The stock of soil organic carbon is a balance of carbon inputs and outputs. Major inputs in cropping systems include crop residue, animal manure, and cover crops. And major outputs include carbon mineralization and erosion. And so many of the agricultural practices can influence the level of inputs and rates of outputs, like choosing which crops to grow, whether or not to integrate cattle, and tillage practices can influence rates of mineralization and erosion. There are several factors that influence carbon stabilization in subsoils in particular. One is the carbon saturation deficit. This is the idea that subsoils have less carbon than surface soils, and for that reason they can more efficiently stabilize added carbon than surface soils that have so much carbon already present. Temperature, moisture, and oxygen conditions differ in the subsoil, and in certain times of the year, conditions can be wetter and cooler, and typically lower in oxygen, which could be less suitable for microbial activity. There's also less fresh residue inputs that can make it more difficult for microbes to decompose organic matter. And then shoot versus root inputs. We know that roots are more effective than shoots in building soil organic matter, and roots are a more important input in the subsoil than shoots. And so for these reasons, there's interest in developing strategies to deliver more carbon to the subsoil as root carbon. So we know that residue allocation, carbon allocation, one way we can influence allocation of carbon to the subsoils is through managing our crop rotations. And so I looked at carbon inputs for two crop rotations, a corn-soybean and corn-corn-oats-alfalfa rotation, using crop yields for two study locations for 2003 to 2014 in Iowa, and assuming harvest index values that I pulled and root-to-shoot ratios that I pulled from the literature. And so I'm estimating above ground and below ground carbon inputs for the two rotations. And the estimated carbon inputs were pretty similar. There were slightly higher carbon inputs in the extended rotation, but the more striking difference was in the proportion of carbon delivered below ground, with about twice as much carbon as root material in the extended rotation. And so this suggests that extending our rotations, including perennial forage crop, could be one way to deliver more carbon to the subsoils. So the objective of this study is to determine the effect of extended crop rotations on soil organic carbon change over time in surface and subsoils. And I hypothesized that the rate of carbon storage would increase with depth based on the higher carbon saturation deficit and less favorable conditions for decomposition, and that the rate of carbon storage would be greater in the extended rotations because of their greater allocation of carbon as root material. So I looked at two study locations in Iowa. Kanawha was a cropping systems experiment established in 1954. It's on a Webster clay loam soil, which is poorly drained, but it does have subsurface tile drainage. And the second site was in Nashua, established in 1979 on a loam soil texture that's moderately well drained and also includes subsurface drainage. So both locations include corn-soybean and corn-corn-oat-alfalfa rotation. And the corn receives 180 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. They're managed with primary tillage after corn and alfalfa and secondary tillage before all crop phases except alfalfa. The first soil sampling was conducted in 2002 by Ann Russell in the fall during the corn phase, and I went back to the same plots in 2014 and sampled again in the fall during the corn phase. We both took 6 cores per plot using this hydraulic soil probe and measured bulk density, soil organic carbon, and total nitrogen down to 100 centimeters. So now getting into the results. These are the 2002 carbon stocks. On the y-axis here is cumulative soil mass with the surface at zero, a mass of zero, and then increasing in soil mass as you go deeper. The secondary y-axis is the depth corresponding to those soil masses. On the x-axis is cumulative soil organic carbon. And so we see a general trend for greater carbon stocks in the extended rotation represented by the blue triangles. And then looking at 2014, I'm presenting the results in the same way. And this time I've fit a cubic spline function. And again, we measured a marginally significant increase in soil carbon in the extended rotation relative to the corn-soybean rotation. But the major goal here is to look at the change over time. And so here I'm showing the past carbon stocks as the triangles and the current carbon stocks as the models, the cubic spline functions. And I'm interested in using this equivalent soil mass method. That's why I'm presenting the results this way, because we know that if we sample at a fixed depth at 2 different times, differences in bulk density can impact how much actual quantity of soil that we collect. So we want to make sure that we're being consistent about the mass of soil that we're comparing. And so I'm using the 2002 soil masses as a reference soil mass. And then I'm comparing the 2002 carbon stocks at those reference soil masses to 2014 carbon stocks at the corresponding soil mass. So I'm using that cubic spline function to make an estimate of the carbon stock at the exact same soil mass. And so we see that at the surface, the past carbon and the present current stocks are pretty similar. But as we go deeper, the current carbon stocks tend to be a little bit greater than the past carbon stocks, even at the same soil mass. And so now I'm showing the change in soil organic carbon for each layer as a percent of the initial carbon in each originally sampled layer. And so we found that the change in carbon increased as we went deeper. And so in the surface, 15 centimeters, there was a slight decrease in carbon at that surface. And then as we went deeper in the soil, the percent change actually increased. And there was no effect of crop rotation on that response. Looking at the total profile carbon storage, we found that the change was not significant based on rotation or on site, but in general, there was a marginally significant increase that equated to about a half a megagram of carbon per hectare each year. So looking at possible explanations for these patterns in carbon change, I considered the possibility of increasing carbon inputs over time due to greater yields and less favorable conditions for decomposition that could be due to changing weather patterns. And so I calculated annual carbon inputs between the two time periods, 2002 and 2014, and found really no evidence for increasing carbon inputs over the sampling period. But I also looked at a previous time period because we know that these deep soils have very slow turnover time, and the accumulation may actually be reflecting a longer term change in yields. And so looking at that previous time point, we found there has been an increase in carbon inputs over the longer term, which may contribute to the changing carbon stocks. We also see precipitation and decreasing temperature, which are more broadly happening throughout Iowa. And so these may result in wetter soils and possibly greater translocation of carbon from surface to subsoil. And so we found that although surface soils are really what most people are focusing on, there's a lot of action in the subsoils, and they seem to be a very important sink for carbon. We're also finding, we found that the extended rotations did have greater carbon stocks, but since these rotations have been placed over the long term, the rate of carbon storage does not seem to be affected now by that crop rotation. So I wanted to acknowledge the individuals who's helped with the sampling and processing of the samples and the funding agencies, and I'd be happy to take questions. That's an extra slide. Thanks.
And we do have time for a couple of questions. Remember to repeat the question and to use the mic.
The question was, which system would you expect to have lower rate of decomposition? And that's a good question. They both have a lot of tillage, because there's tillage before or after corn and alfalfa. And so there's a lot of disturbance of both systems, although the alfalfa year does not receive tillage at all, so there's kind of less disturbance for that whole period. And then the alfalfa has kind of got its roots in the soil for a longer period. I guess, I don't know, there's a lot of different factors to consider there, but we haven't measured those rates of decomposition. Yes?
Have you been measuring the nitrogen balance in those systems to know what might be contributing to that change in carbon turnover?
Yes. We also measured nitrogen. The question was, have we looked at the budget of nitrogen and whether nitrogen inputs could be contributing to the carbon changes? So it's likely that the 180 kilograms per hectare is over a slight over-fertilization in that extended rotation, because we know that alfalfa can really reduce our nitrogen requirements for corn following alfalfa. But we wanted to keep that variable the same in both systems, and it's probably just causing like extra nitrogen, probably not stimulating corn yield, since that it's kind of like above the optimum nitrogen rate. But yeah, I haven't looked precisely at the inputs and outputs, but I can say that I can show you the soil nitrogen has also been increasing, and in fact, even to a greater extent than the carbon. Yeah, but the 180 kilograms per hectare is probably about the right rate for that corn soybean system. So yeah, there's probably not excess nitrogen in that system. So.
Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very short.
A short question. You have mentioned a very interesting point that weather pattern change may help to accumulate organic carbon. So how, I mean, you gave a good point.
Yeah.
what is your suggestion or explanation?
Well, the patterns of increasing precipitation, I've just read a paper on this, and they think it may relate to the just the evapotranspiration rates that are happening in the Corn Belt, increasing kind of the cycling of water in the region. And so, yes, it could maybe be sort of increasing the translocation or just keeping the soil wetter during times of the year when microbes would otherwise be decomposing carbon. But yeah, I want to test some of these hypotheses using some modeling. I have some ideas for that, but we'll see if I can actually do that, because it's really hard to separate right now what is the causative factor, but whether maybe something to do with it.
Wet soils are a little bit cold.
Yep.
To raise the temperature of wet soil and more moisture to the dry, you need 3-4 times of energy level. If you don't have that energy level, carbon has to happen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Thank you.
Nice job.